Pastor Ray Bentley explains how the Lord is not only the creator, but the sustainer of the entire universe.
God spoke all things into existence. When God speaks, things are created, things happen. And when God sent the message of his love, it turned into the person of his son, Jesus Christ. He upholds all things by the word of his power. So the worlds were not only made by his power, the power of his word, but they are sustained by the word of his power.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Early in his life, Jesus was a carpenter. But in the context of eternity, Jesus didn't so much make furniture, but the trees that the furniture came from. Jesus is the creator and sustainer of everything. And today, as we begin our studies in Hebrews, Pastor Ray outlines the importance of that.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. I want to give a little introduction here to Hebrews. First of all, who wrote this book? It's called Hebrews. It doesn't tell us who the author is. We don't know for certain, but in that this is, kind of what I do and reading a lot of books and commentaries on it, let me just share with you my own personal opinion. And my own personal opinion is that Paul wrote this book. Now, the question then would come, well, why wouldn't Paul put his name to it if, in fact, he did write it? Well, there are several probable reasons, one being that Paul was convinced, because you couldn't get any more Jewish than Paul was, as the way he was raised, his schooling under Gamaliel, the famous rabbi. He knew Judaism to the nth degree, and he lived it to the nth degree. So when he had this radical conversion and he saw Jesus, it opened everything up to him. Everywhere he looked, from Genesis to Malachi, as we would say, he saw Jesus, he saw the Messiah, and it just burned within him. And he felt convinced that because of his insight, his background, he knew that once he got to Jerusalem, he could convince the leaders of the nation of Israel that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, the Lord began telling him, it's not going to be that way, Paul. They're not going to be so excited about it. In fact, there's going to be quite a battle that is over this whole issue. And this book is probably written, I think, by Paul, but he wanted to leave his name out of it because he was a lightning rod within the Jewish community throughout the Roman world, the Mediterranean area where he traveled. He didn't want to be the issue. He wanted the word, he wanted the scriptures, he wanted the truth to be the issue. And so it's written to some of the Jewish believers, probably meeting in homes in the capital of the Roman Empire in Rome itself. These were the original Messianic Jews. That's what Hebrews really is. Jews who happened to believe that Jesus was, in fact, the Messiah. They kept their Jewish culture, they kept their Jewish customs. But the reason Paul wrote this letter is that some of them were going backwards rather than forward. And actually, he addresses the danger of turning away from faith in Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. And Paul is saying, okay, there's where we need to draw the line. You don't need to do that anymore. Here is why. And the danger of going backwards in that way. Hebrews presents the greatness of Jesus as perhaps no other book in the New Testament. And expanding Christians will experience an expanding Christ. Hebrews will help us grow and find a bigger Christ. So with that, let's get into it, beginning with verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Jesus is the heir of all things, everything. Jesus is specifically the heir to the planet Earth and to all the people in the planet Earth For a couple of reasons. One, because he made them, and secondly, because he bought them and purchased them. But the promise also embraces the whole universe and the new world to come. Jesus is the heir of all things. Colossians 1:16 says, all things were created for him. The earth was created for him. Every tree was created for him. Every animal was created for him. Every type of geographical formation, mountains, valleys, rivers and streams, the oceans, and all the fish and the fowl of the air were created for him. And the sun and the moon and the planets and the stars and even on out into the vast universe. And in the midst of all that, we are his treasured inheritance. Paul prayed that our eyes would be open to see what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Do you know what's the most valuable thing in the entire universe to God? You are, and me. I don't get that always. I don't always see that in myself, but you are his precious treasure. An amazing treasure. Think of it. Jesus is heir to all the heavens and numberless worlds, but we are his treasure. The redeemed within the universe are worth more than the universe. Jesus put it this way in a parable. He said, a man was walking through a field, and in the middle of the field, he found this amazing treasure. He then went and sold all that he had in order to buy the field. But the reason he bought the field was so that he could have the treasure that he had found within it. That's what Jesus did when he died on the cross. The field is the world. And he gave everything for the field, but the treasure within was you and was me. But there is more. Romans 8:17 is in your notes. Let's read this scripture out loud together. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. We are heirs. Everything he's going to inherit, we're going to inherit. And, you know, when Jesus comes back, I love this. Yes, he died for you, and he died for me. He died because the most precious possession and treasure that he has is human beings, made in the image of God. But it is equally true that Jesus died to redeem everything that Adam lost in the Garden of Eden, which means Jesus died for the plant kingdom as well, and the curse that came upon the plants and the trees and the vegetation. It means that Jesus died to redeem the animal kingdom and all the animals, and then how it turned where they began to prey one upon another. That's not the way that God originally designed it. Jesus redeemed the animals. Jesus redeemed the earth itself. There weren't bad lands, wastelands, deserts, and these vast areas where nothing grows in the Garden of Eden and back in the very beginning. Now, I grew up, as many of you did, in the 60s and 70s, where, you know, a lot of talk about ecology and green, and I just want to say, as your pastor, that there is no one more green than God. No one loves greenery more than God. The best thing that you can do for the ecology is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and working and laboring for the kingdom come, because when Jesus' feet touch the Mount of Olives, the Bible says the deserts will blossom as the rose. Amen? And that is amazingly good news. He's going to heal everything. He's going to heal mankind. He's going to heal the animal kingdom. He's going to heal the plant kingdom. He's going to heal the mineral kingdom, and the whole earth will be this glorious, green, beautiful, verdant land. And we're co-heirs with him. Now, the next phrase, it goes on. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, and through whom also he made the worlds. Jesus, then, the writer of Hebrews tells us, is the creator of all things. And by the way, when I mentioned to you that we don't know who the writer of Hebrews is, and I think it was Paul, ultimately it doesn't really matter because the real author of the book of Hebrews is whom? The Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired of God. And the NIV, it gives the right English translation that all scripture is God-breathed. So the real author of Hebrews is the Spirit of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is here saying, not only is Jesus the heir of all things in the world and the universe, but he is the creator of all things. Now that's quite an insight, because we go back to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Well, now we find that the agent or the agency of creation was the Son, Jesus, the Messiah himself. There's a well-known Cambridge physicist named Stephen Hawking. Some of you are aware of him, some of you are in that field or physicists and have read his books. He wrote a book, in fact, some have called him the most brilliant theoretical physicist since Einstein. He wrote a book called A Brief History of Time. In that book, Stephen Hawking says that our galaxy is an average-sized spiral galaxy that looks to other galaxies like a swirl in a pastry, and a pastry roll, and that it is over 100,000 light years across, about 600 trillion miles. 600 trillion miles, one galaxy. He says, quote, we now know that our galaxy is only one of some 100,000 million that can be seen using modern telescopes. Each galaxy itself containing some 100,000 million stars. I can't fathom how big that number is. I just know it's a lot. It is commonly held that the average distance between these 100,000 million galaxies is 3 million light years between one galaxy and another. You know, light travels really fast. How far it gets in a year, a light year, and the distance just between two galaxies is 3 million light years. Are you getting the picture? This is a big universe. We also know that the universe is expanding. Some estimates say that the most distant galaxy is 8 billion light years away and is racing away at 200 million miles an hour. And the question that all these smart people have is, how did it all begin? Where did it all begin? And there's various theories, the Big Bang being one that I know off the top of my head. But I think it's because we have a big God, a great God. And I don't even know how he did it. But the Bible says that he did do it, and that in fact, Jesus Christ was the agency or the instrument used to bring the creation of this vast universe. Oh, the creative power of Christ. Now read with me John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 in your notes. Let's read this out loud. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Wow. And then we find out in the next phrase, Jesus is the glory of God. He has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory. The light of Jesus Christ himself will be the light of the coming kingdom. Did you know, you read in the book of Revelation, it says there's no need for the sun because the light that lights the universe will be the light emanating from Jesus Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, the glory of God was manifest in the temple. The Hebrews called it the Shekinah, the visible manifestation of God's glory, where you could see the fire. It was like fire, light, but it was supernatural. It was the light burning and emanating from the person of God. Now, the priests would go into, there were several chambers within the temple, but on the inside of the temple, there were two compartments, one called the Holy Place, And inside of that, there was the Holy of Holies. Now, in the holy place, on the one side, you had 12 loaves of bread representing the 12 tribes of Israel. On the other side, you had a menorah, a seven-branch candlestick with seven lamps on it. And that seven-branch candlestick was the light of the holy place. But then in the front was a curtain that they tell us was some 18 inches thick that separated even the holy place where all the priests ministered from the Holy of Holies. Inside the Holy of Holies, which had no natural light, was the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, upon top of which were these two golden cherubim. And only one man was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies, and only he was able to go in one day a year. He would go in, and he had to be prepared, he had to do everything right, he had to take this seriously, and if he in any way took his job lightly, he would die. And they had a rope tied to his ankle with bells on it. As he went in there and ministered, he had to, with a hyssop branch, sprinkle the blood of the lamb for the atonement for the sins of the nation. And if the bells stop, that meant he had done something wrong, and they had to drag his dead body out. But ironically, inside the Holy of Holies, there was light, but it wasn't from a candle. It wasn't natural. It was supernatural. The high priest, one day a year, went inside of the curtain, and the light inside was the glory, the Shekinah of the Lord, and that is now what the writer of Hebrews is saying Jesus is. He is the glory of God. He is the Shekinah of God, the off-shining of God. In the NIV, I think it says he is the effulgence, the brightness that burns or emanates from God. And then the next phrase says, he is the express image of his person. Think of this. Jesus is the express image of God. He is the exact image of God. And in fact, in your notes, John chapter 14, verse 9, it's there. Let's read this scripture out loud together. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" I would love to have been there that day when Philip is saying, "Jesus, you're always talking about the Father. You get up early in the morning. You go talk to your Father. Whatever he tells you to do, you do. If he tells you to go someplace, that's where we all go. You say that you don't say anything unless you and your Father have talked about it. Show us the Father, and it will be sufficient." And Jesus, I imagine in my mind, furrowing his brow, looking at this young man and saying, "Philip, you've been with me every day for the last three and a half years. Look at me. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Later he would say, "I and my Father are one," the express image. And then the next phrase says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. Upholding all things by the word of his power. God spoke all things into existence. And I love, again, in the Hebrew, we read in our English, in the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. A lot of words. The Hebrew is much more emphatic, succinct, punctuated. It would say, God said, "Light be," and light was power. He spoke. When God speaks, things are created. Things happen. Do you know that once God said, not just "light be" and "light was," but God said, "Man, I love you." And the word and the message of God's love became flesh and blood and turned into Jesus. Because when God speaks, he creates. And when God sent the message of his love, it turned into the person of his son, Jesus Christ. He upholds all things by the word of his power. So the worlds were not only made by his power, the power of his word, but they are sustained by the word of his power. And then we read, when he had by himself purged our sins. Jesus himself purged away our sins. Now listen, on the Day of Atonement, only the high priest could serve that day to offer the sacrifice for the people. No other priest could do it. On that day, he did what he did alone. On other days, many priests would give many sacrifices. But on this day, the Day of Atonement, he alone made the sacrifice. He alone went into the Holy of Holies with the blood of the offerings to make atonement for the sins of the people. And now Hebrews is telling us Jesus, our high priest, in making atonement for us, had to go it alone. When he went to Calvary, no one could go with him. When he went to the cross, that's why he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He had to go alone. No angels could go with him. What he did in such a unique manner. And he was the only one who could have done for us what he did. And when Jesus, here's the irony. Usually the high priest would bring a lamb to sacrifice. In this case, the high priest brought himself. Jesus became, as our high priest, the lamb whose blood was shed. And then he entered not merely the earthly tabernacle, but he went to the tabernacle of which the earthly is a model. He entered the tabernacle and the real throne of God and the seat of God, the mercy seat. And it wasn't golden angels. It was real cherubim in flaming fire in the throne of God. And there Jesus took his own blood and threw it upon the seat of his Father and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he alone, by himself, purged away our sins forever. And that's why the writer of Hebrews is saying, don't go back. You don't need animals anymore. God doesn't want any more sacrifice. He is satisfied with the love and the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then finally, the last phrase, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. I love the way that describes God. At the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So we see Jesus now sitting down at the right hand of God. And we find out in chapter 2, he is waiting there until all things are brought in subjection to him. The Father will make all things and subject it unto the Son, and the Son then offers everything back to the Father. It's this mutual love between a father and a son. And then the sharing of that with all of the heirs who are the children of God brought into the family, who then become joint heirs with him in this world and the world to come, world without end. Amen.
Gleaning some great insights from the book of Hebrews with Pastor Ray Bentley. Important studies here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention, "Lord, You're Bigger." It's available for just $7. Again, it's called, "Lord, You're Bigger." And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Hebrews on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. I recently read a review, and it said, the book leaves you wanting more. This person spoke of how captivating it is to go behind the scenes in biblical prophecy. They said they were stunned.
You know, that was my personal experience. You know, after studying the Bible and knowing generally about prophecy for many years, God began to open up whole new layers of understanding of the past, of the biblical feasts, and of their relevance to the church today. And I was on fire, excited. I couldn't wait to write the book. And it's really exciting to see people reading it and seeing what I've seen, learning what I learned, and then getting on fire. And that's why I can't wait for people to read it and to learn these new things. I think it's going to really change their perspective and open their eyes in some ways they can't even imagine.
And this will reveal what we see reported in the news every day in a whole new light, won't it?
It will. I think that it puts an exclamation point on the things that we keep getting jolted by as we watch what's happening. These are the very signs and patterns that Jesus said are indications the kingdom is on its way.
All right. We'll find out more in Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Hebrews. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.